And it's amazing how God takes us in ways in which we could never imagine. Because the reality is, when we come to God, we have come home. We have come to a place that we were supposed to be. We fit in God's plan when we come home to Him.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, March 26, 2023. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Three Great Stories. And our text comes to us from Luke chapter 15, verses 3 to 31. And now, here's Pastor Zoni.
We'll be looking at, quote, famous passages from Scripture. And today I'm going to run through three very important passages of Scripture, all of them at once, because they're found in one place and only one place in the entire Bible. And that's in the Gospel of Luke. And Luke is known for his stories, and it contains some of the most striking parables not found anywhere else in the Gospels. So today we're going to actually take time and read a lengthy chapter that speaks about three lost things. I'll comment on the first two, and then we'll dive into the third one. So there are three parables in this chapter, and it's not just three ways of stating the same thing. Each has something specific to say about lostness. So let's open our Bibles and go to Luke chapter 15, and we begin with verse 3, and we go all the way down to verse 31. And I hope that you love the Scripture. How many of you love the Scriptures? You know, when we read the Scriptures, it's so wonderful because it opens up a whole world. And you know, before we go into the Word, into reading the Word, we should say, Lord, speak to my heart. And Lord, what will I hear here? What will you say to me today? Amen. So I'll read the screen. I thought of maybe me reading one verse and you reading the other, but we're not going to do that. We're not used to do that, and it goes all over the place. And you have different versions, but you could read it up there. No, let's just do it direct. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Verse 8, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired men. But so he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, What was going on? Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed a fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, Look, all these years I've been slaving for you. I never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. That's called grumpy in the Bible. But when his son of yours, who had squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. My son, the father said, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours. Well, everything I have is yours. Can you say that with me? Everything. And verse 32 says, But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. May God bless the reading of his word. I tell you, these three parables are incredible. When you take them all at once, you see what the Lord was trying to convey. Let me make some distinctions. The sheep was lost because of sheer foolishness. That's how it's lost. The sheep didn't think, as many of us should be thinking, but we don't think. And we think that if we were to have thought it through, maybe we'd not have wandered off. But the sheep was dumb and just walked away from the flock. And yet God is always happy when a lost sinner is found, just like the shepherd is happy when he goes out and finds the sheep and brings them home. It's a tremendous thought here that God is kinder to men than men are to men. That God is merciful. That God has a joy when he finds the lost sheep. God loves those who never stray. But God also loves greatly those who walk away, are found, and they come back to the fold. I want you to know that a lot of us sometimes stray in our walk with Jesus. Instead of being faithful and committed to the things he called us to be, we stray. But then the shepherd goes out, finds us, and brings them home. And the scripture says God is happy and he's thankful because the lost sheep has been found. Then there's the second parable of the coin. It was lost, the coin was lost, not because of his own fault. And sometimes people are astray, and God will hold you not guilty because you just simply stray. He will hold you responsible for just not thinking through. The coin in question is just a small silver coin, and it would be very easy to lose in Palestine. The homes were, you know, they were not tiled like Mario. They was just a dirt floor with straw. And if it were to drop a coin there, it would be like trying to find a needle in a haystack. And the floor was beaten and covered with dry reeds and rushes. And to look for a coin like that would take considerable effort. And yet this woman swept the floor in hope that she might find this coin. Somehow, some way, she needed to find it. And you can understand the joy of this woman when she saw the elusive coin sparkle, maybe, and all of a sudden she takes it up and says, I have the coin. And the Lord says that this is just how God is like that. The joy of God when one of these little coins are found, angels rejoice and say, it was lost, but now it's found. And the joy of this woman was that she found the coin that was lost. And the scripture says that it's a joy in heaven as well. They say that a great Jewish scholar admitted that this is one of the absolutely new things that Jesus taught about God, that he actually searched for lost coins, that he actually went out to look for the stray sheep. That's not the thought of Jewish belief, because a Jew might agree that those who came crawling back to God with self-abasement and full repentance, you know, God would whip him and punish them and tell them off. But Jewish thought would never conceive of a God who went out to search those who were lost. Did you know the Lord searched you out? Did you know that you're here because the Lord looked for you? And you thought you were looking for God. God was looking for you. You were lost in sin. You were lost doing crazy stuff. And the Lord went out to look for you, and he found you, and you became a child of God. So the Son of God, the scripture says, came to seek and to save that which was lost. This is a true thing. God seeks everyone to come. He seeks them out. And when you respond to his seeking out, there's joy in our heart. And in heaven, they rejoice. They rejoice in heaven. But now we're going to dive into the parable of the so-called prodigal son. People have said it should be called the prodigal father because we see the love of the father more than anything else. This has been known as the greatest story that it's ever been told, the parable of the prodigal son. The story, let me give you some background. The story is that this man was wealthy, and the Jewish customs or Jewish law, the father was not free to divide the property according to his wishes, because the way it was set up in Deuteronomy 21, the elder son had to receive 2/3 and the young one 1/3 of the property. It was not unusual for fathers to distribute the wealth before he would pass away, and or when he wanted to retire from whatever job he was doing. But here we find a callous young whippernapper, young kid that wanted his money before his dad passed away. Give me the part of the estate. This is mine. I want it now. And I'm going to get away when you give me the money because I can't help staying here. I'm fed up here. And the amazing thing is that the father did not argue with the son. I guess the father knew that his son was eventually going to learn the story of what it means to walk away from God's house and walk away from God's presence. So when he got the money without major delay, he took the share of his property and he left home. And he ran out of money. Isn't that the story of just about everybody in life? Run out of money. And he wound up feeding pigs. And that is a forbidden act for the Jewish people. The law says, cursed is he who feeds swine. Maybe I should say, but thank God it doesn't say those who eat swine. But as you look through scripture, you find that this parable, Jesus says something, one of the greatest compliments that he could have ever given in life. This is what he said. He says, when he came to himself, when the prodigal son came to himself, when he came to his senses, when he came to his senses. And I am telling you, when you come to your senses, you find out how important God really is in your life. Jesus believed that being away from God prevented people from being truly themselves. You think you are who you are because of what you are. You need to come to God. And that's when you will realize who you really are and what you were meant to be and do for the glory of God. It's amazing. But it was only possible for the prodigal son to come to himself, to senses, and to develop into the person he needed to be when he began to go on his way home. He said to himself, I am going to go and ask my father to forgive me and to make me one of the laborers. And it's amazing how God takes us in ways in which we could never imagine. Because the reality is, when we come to God, we have come home. We have come to a place that we were supposed to be. We fit in God's plan when we come home to Him. We are never essentially ourselves. You are never really you until you come home to God. So the son decided to come home and pleaded to be taken back, not just as a son, but as the lowest rank of slaves, a hired servant. There would be the only day laborers that would come and could be dismissed at any time. The ordinary slave is different, because the ordinary slave was part of the family. But the hired servant was nothing. One in and gone the next day. He was not one of the family at all. No, by no means. But when the prodigal son came home, he actually came home. His father never gave him the chance to say, make me one of your hired servants. He stopped him from that. You look at the scripture, and it's the Lord, the father doesn't allow him to say that. As a matter of fact, the first thing he said to his servants, he says, quickly, find a robe, get a ring, get the shoes, because the robe stands for honor. You come back home, and God honors you. He honors you. Amazing. The ring is for authority. You're given authority. If a man had that signet ring, it was the same as giving him power of attorney. It was awful, incredible authority he had. The shoes that he received is for a son opposed to a slave, because children in the family are the only ones who wore shoes. Slaves were not allowed to wear shoes. And on top of all of that, a feast was made that all might rejoice that this wonder has returned. I'm telling you, it's something awfully good happens when you come home to God. Something wonderful takes place in your life and my life. Your years of wondering and your years of sinfulness and your years of trying to make it come to a sudden stop, and all of a sudden, you become a child of God. Not half-baked, but fully developed with all the rights and privileges of a child of God. And this is a great feast that he threw. And this feast was so wonderful because his feast proved that there was rejoicing in the heart of the Father. You know, sometimes we think about God and we don't think of God as the one rejoicing over us, but we think of someone who maybe doesn't fully forgive us, or he forgives us, but always holding that element of yesterday on top of us. The fact that you get a robe, a ring, and shoes shows that the Lord does not hold against you what you did before you came to him. That is a clean slate and a new way of beginning life. It tells us so much about the forgiveness of God. It seems like the father was always watching to see when his son would come back. And he would stand in the terrace and would look to see, is my son coming, is my son coming? And when he saw the son coming, he ran towards him. This is the picture of God in your life. Your heavenly father that loves you and cares for you. And if you're wounded this morning, if you doubt God's love, stop it. Because God loves you with an everlasting love. And the day you came to him, he was running towards you as well. It's a wonderful picture of God's love, the forgiveness of God. It's a wonderful, loving story about the Father who loves the Son and forgives him of everything he has done. Clean slate for you and for me. They tell the story about Abraham Lincoln and how he was going to treat the rebellious Southerners when they would return back to the States and become a full United States. And the questioners were asking that question, expecting that Lincoln would take vengeance and would imprison them, or who knows what he would say. You know what he said? Let me quote to you. He said, I will treat them as if they have never been away. God treats you with love and tenderness and kindness. And I don't know to whom this is going to, but I want to reassure you that the day that you came to God's house, the Lord was there before. And he went out to greet you and to tell you that he loves you and that your sins are forgiven. And that you have a new relationship with God that can get you anything you want under the umbrella of his will for your life. It is the wonder of the love of God that treats us like that. But that's not the end of the story as we read it. Here we have a great feast because we've come home. There's restoration. There's relationship. Poor fatted calf, he died, but that's okay. They had a great time together. Something happens. The elder brother walks in. Oh, bandido que era. The elder brother comes in, and he was sorry and upset that his brother had come home. This stands for those who are so self-righteous, those who would rather see a sinner destroyed than saved. I don't know if you've ever wondered about how people can be cruel, but the story of the prodigal son is so wonderfully presented with the love of the father, and yet those who resent, those who get saved and come to God. And his attitude shows that in the years that he worked for his father, had been years of grim duty. And he was doing things not out of loving service, but I had to do it because that's how God wants me to do things. My father wants me to do that. He was forced to do things. It didn't come out of the heart of the elder son. It came out of a duty, oblique, strange, retorcido duty of doing things for his master, for his father. So sometimes we have to remember that whatever we do for the Lord cannot be done grudgingly, but it should be done from the heart, with love, with kindness. This is for the Lord. Not, oh gosh, I guess I gotta do this. Oh, Sunday, I gotta go to church. Oh, good grief. Couldn't we have Saturday night church so I don't have to get up on Sunday morning church? Grudgingly, oh, you mean we have to tithe? Sometimes we forget how much God has invested in you and in me and how he loves us dearly. So the elder brother had an attitude of self-righteousness, just like the Pharisees. He was there forcing himself to be in the service of the Lord. He was not willing to serve God. How is your attitude about serving the Lord? Because this is going to the elder. This is going to those who are already home. This is not going to the ones who are coming, but these are the ones who are here already. Sometimes we get old and stuffy. And we get old and belligerent. We get old and we think everything is a task and everything is a duty. And why should I do this? And we complain and we murmur. And all of a sudden, the joy of the Lord is gone. And we do things not out of a heart of gratitude, but out of a strange twisted, that's the word, twisted sense of duty. His attitude was not only forced, but his attitude lacked sympathy, lacked love. The prodigal son, he refers to him not as my brother has come home, but he says your son has come home. There was a disconnect. There was a severing, a self-righteous character that would have cheerfully kicked the man farther into the gutter now that he was done. I don't know what I'm trying to say here, except that we have to be mindful of those who come to the Lord and those who are added to the congregation, that we must love them and cherish them. And there are people that sometimes come to church and they're battered and wounded. We must show them love. We must show them kindness. We must tell them that God loves them just like he loved us. But there's one last thing that I want to mention to you about the attitude of this elder brother. There's just no other way to say this, but this guy had a nasty mind. Yeah. There's no mention of harlots or prostitutes until he mentions them. He suspected his brother of the sins he himself would have likely to have committed. Sometimes we give ourselves away with our criticism. Sometimes we give ourselves away as to what we do wrong by accusing others of what they're doing. This is tough stuff. This is not easy. Now, it's true. The elder son represents Israel. The younger son represents the Gentiles. And all that stuff can be put in there. And we know that the Gentiles were never loved by the Jewish people. And the Jewish people resented the Gentiles. And God still brought them in. And all it's all there. So I'm very much aware of that symmetry and that way of looking at the text. But I'm just simply taking it at face value and saying, you have to be careful, because sometimes we who serve the Lord out of duty and not out of love can develop self-righteousness, and we can develop in our hearts an attitude that lacks sympathy, and we most certainly develop the worst nasty mind that we can think of. Gee, what a wonderful service. Huh? But I don't want to concentrate on that. I need to concentrate on the amazing truth that it's easier to confess to God than it is to another person. When you come to God, you come to him. Sometimes people won't pay attention to you. They won't love you. They won't care for you. But when you come to God, God will be merciful in his judgments, much more than what other people would do towards you. And God's love is broader and bigger and greater and more understanding than human love. And then God can forgive when we refuse to forgive. So how is your love life lately? How are you dealing with your brother and your sister? Where is your heart this morning? Is there capacity in your heart to love the younger brother who comes beat up? And what about the younger brother who's coming? Are you coming? Do you realize that the Lord is throwing a feast because you're here? He wants to do work in your life. He wants to assure you and settle you in a way in which you can serve him forever and ever and ever. Oh, may God have mercy on all of us. May you and I understand that we were once lost, but now we're found. That we may understand that we were lost and found by God himself. And that we are where we are because of God's grace towards our life. And you're here because God sought you, not because you sought the Lord. It's an amazing story. I pray that you will understand the greatness of God in your life, and that you would find strength and consolation as you face the days that are ahead in your life, and that you will say, God loves me, and God cares for me. And I can receive his forgiveness because he has forgiven me. I can love the Lord and the Lord can love me back. Sometimes people can be mean to you, but God will never be mean to you. Sometimes people may criticize you, but the Lord will never criticize you. Sometimes people make things up about you, But he does not have to make up anything about you because he knows you all the way through. And he still loves you. And he still loves you. And he secures you. Talking about a God of mercy and a God of love and a God who cares. A God who will seek out that which is lost and will rejoice when he finds you. Oh, may you be found in the Lord today. May God speak to your heart. May you be assured that the Lord is speaking and allowing his presence to shine in your life. This is the week, you know, the week, Holy Week coming up, and the things that go on in life. And as I read the scriptures in John as to what Jesus went through, let me just say this. There was a moment in the life of Jesus when he was being marshaled by the authorities and was getting ready to be crucified, that they asked questions to him. And they asked questions, and Pilate says, "Are you the Son of God? Are you this? Are you that?" And Scripture says that he remained silent, did not answer them. And sometimes, you know, it is dreadful to think that Jesus can't say anything to you because of your mindset and because of your disposition. When Jesus can't say anything to you, it's hopeless. But Jesus is seeking you out and speaking to you. He does that this morning because he's not addressing Pilate or the scribes or the Pharisees. He's addressing you, and he tells you that he loves you and he's seeking for you and he wants you to come home and make home really home for you. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
That's it. So, Lord, I thank you this sunny morning for showing us that you treat us with love and tenderness, that you treat us, Lord, with the disposition of caring for us. I thank you, Lord, that you're able to speak to our hearts and secure our hearts in your love. Lord Jesus, I thank you that once we heard your voice. Hallelujah, Lord. We heard your voice, Lord. Thank you for that we heard your voice and we came to you. We came to you. How many can lift those hands and say, thank you, Lord, that I heard your voice and I came to you. I came to you. And I am now home serving you, Lord, serving you with all my heart. Lord, I pray that you'll take away whatever critical spirit we may have and that we may join your spirit, which is a spirit of acceptance, as a spirit of strength and a spirit of love. In Jesus' name, Lord, make it happen in our hearts. Thank you, Father, that you sought us, you found us, and that we're home today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is the day. Are you sure? All right, everybody, this is the day. Nunca aprende. That's all right. Lord, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our Facebook page or go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.